Could I ask you once again to turn to that passage of God's Word? Only we're at chapter 3. Book of Jonah, chapter 3. And with our Bibles open before us, maybe we could bow in a word of prayer. Our loving Father, we once again are coming to the precious Word of Truth, and we thank Thee, Lord, that the entrance of Thy Word giveth light and understanding to us all. We pray, Lord, that Thou Thyself would break the bread of life, that Thou would, Lord, apply it to where it's needed, and above all else, that the Lord Jesus Himself might have the preeminence in all things that will be accomplished, even amongst our congregation this evening. To this end, close us in with Thyself, and bless us in the remaining minutes that's left of our service, and meet with us afresh, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We have read this evening from the first chapter of the book of Jonah. It gives us a detailed account of God's dealing with an individual. We can see the heart and the desire of God Almighty concerning Jonah's life and ministry at that particular time. We can see that the word of the Lord came unto him there in chapter 1, and the desire of the Lord was for him to go unto Nineveh, which was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, as we would learn a little later on in the book. And you know, instead of Jonah going, we read in this first chapter that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We can see a child of God's refusal to obey the will and plan of God for his life. And dear friend, that can be the case in any child of God's life. You and I can go against God's will and God's plan for our lives. Now, the reason why Jonah would not go to Nineveh, we can see in chapter 4. Because Jonah was aware of all that was happening in Nineveh. And not only was Jonah aware of that which was taking place in Nineveh, but certainly the Lord was aware of the great wickedness that had come up before him, as the book describes it as. And Jonah was aware of the torture and the torment that was plagued upon victims there. It is said that within those walls and beyond those walls, there were some of the greatest atrocities taking place that you wouldn't even want to know about. And many a time in the darkness of the night, Jonah, wherever he lived, in shadow of this great city of Nineveh, many's a night he would have sat under the stars and he would have listened to the cries of victims who have been tortured, who have been murdered, who have been massacred under the leadership of those who were in that city. And when the word of the Lord came unto Jonah that first time, requesting that he would go to that great city of Nineveh, his response was to rise up and to flee from the presence of the Lord. Because he felt in his heart that these people were so vile and so wicked and so depraved that here were a people who would not deserve and should not deserve the mercy nor the grace of the Lord. Therefore, with this thought in his mind and this thought in his heart, we see him rising from the position where God had spoke to him, and his desire was to flee from the very presence of the Lord. You and I know that that is something that is absolutely impossible to do. You and I can never hide from the very presence of God. And what Jonah was seeking to do was just run. In disobedience to God's will and to God's word for his life. And you will notice as he went and made his journey, verse 3 says of chapter 1, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, a little seaport. And there at Joppa he came across a boat which was just docked just off the seaport itself, and he found the man who owned the craft. And his desire was that he would head to Tarshish. And you discover that everything was in its place. The boat was there at the right time. He came across the man who owned the boat, who was leaving just at the time that he needed to go. And when the price was given to him concerning the fare that it would take to take him to the place where he wanted to go, you'll discover he had the money in his pocket. And everything seemed to be in place. My Bible tells me that after he paid the fare, he got into the boat. And he flee from the very presence of the Lord. But you know, in verse 4, we see that the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. You'll notice he spoke to humanity, but humanity wouldn't obey him. You'll notice now he's speaking to nature. And he's commanding the wind to go out into the sea. And my Bible tells me at the command of God, the wind went out into the sea, and there was a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. In other words, with the forceness of the wind and with the roughness of the sea, here was a storm that the boys in this boat had never faced the like of before. To the extent that the Bible tells us in verse 5 that these boys in the boat, who were seasoned men of the sea, were afraid. And we can see what this fear brought them to do. Because immediately one after the other across the deck of that boat, one after the other fell down before their God, and they cried unto their God that their God would rescue them. Hardened men. Rough men, godless men, crying on their knees on the deck of a craft, crying unto their God, small g, to deliver them. But you know their gods were false gods. And false gods can do nothing for them. And you will discover as you see the reaction of Jonah that even through his act of disobedience, God was going to do a work in the heart and the lives of these individuals. Because you will discover as they were on their knees and they were praying unto their God, listen, they began to realize that nothing was happening. And they began to take the words from the boat, and they cast forth the words that were in the ship into the sea in order to lighten it of them. And while they were at work, hard at work, seeking to save the craft, as they thought that this craft was going to go under, Jonah, the runaway servant of God, the Bible says, he was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and he was fast asleep. when you get away from God, it's terrible how lackadaisy you can get. To the extent that the shipmaster came and he requested, and he said unto him in the verse 6, he said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon my God. And if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." These boys literally thought they were going to perish. And when Jonah arose, he spoke to them. And we have already read about that this evening already. And he related to them that he was a runaway servant of God. He had disobeyed the word and the will of God for his life. And then the request was, "What will we do? What have we to do with you?" And it would seem to me very evident that while Jonah was sleeping, or somewhere along the line, God revealed his will to him for this occasion. Because Jonah, as the question was asked, "What will we do with you?" then Jonah requested, "Look, you need to take me up and you need to throw me into the sea." Verse 12. "That's what you need to do." They said in verse 11, "And they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "You've got to take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." And when these boys heard this, they were reluctant to carry out his wishes. The Bible tells us there in chapter 1, nevertheless, verse 13, "The men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord." Something happened in these boys' hearts. And these boys came to the point where they realized that they must obey the will of the Lord concerning Jonah. And in order for them to be saved from perishing, one must be sacrificed from out of the craft. And after seeking with all their power and ability to save themselves, it was to no avail. And maybe that's a picture of you tonight in the meeting. And you know God's plan for your salvation. God's plan was that He would send forth His Son, born of the Virgin Mary, that His Son would live and walk this scene of time for some 30 years and then commence His public ministry. When John the Baptist introduced Him by the River Jordan by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world." And for 3.5 years we can follow the footsteps of Christ as He goes across this earth doing His earthly ministry. And eventually we can see Him with His face set as a flint to go towards Jerusalem, knowing that He must go and be sacrificed for sin. Know that He must go and to die as God's substitute for sinners. And in order, dear friend, for you and I to be saved, listen, there had to be one to become sin for us who knew no sin. For Christ Jesus is the only Savior of humanity. Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The Bible says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And dear friend, I put to you tonight, you have a head knowledge of this truth. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son, sent from heaven, who died on the cross of Calvary as a substitute for sinners. But up until this point of time, in this gospel meeting tonight, listen, you are still sitting in that seat, a Christ rejecter, on your road to a lost eternity. Listen, dear friend, just one heartbeat away from hell itself. And maybe you're even trying to work your way, seeking through your self-righteousness to give you acceptance with God. Listen, it can never happen. These boys came to the point where they realized that there's nothing more that they could do in order to save them from perishing. And in order for them to be saved from a watery grave, they had to be willing to cast Jonah, the servant of God, into the midst of the sea. And I want to tell you something as you look into the boat. Now listen to this. I don't believe Jonah struggled with the mariners. I don't think he pleaded for his life. I think Jonah willingly permitted these men to carry out God's will at that particular time. And I want to tell you something. You see at Calvary, my Savior never struggled. My Savior willingly laid down his life for you, and he did it for me. And all I can say tonight is hallelujah. What a Savior. Yes, the verse goes on to say, verse 15, then so they took Jonah up and they cast him forth into the sea, and right away, listen, right away, immediately, the Bible says that the sea ceased from her raging. And I don't know if these boys ever seen Jonah again. But one thing I do see that they did was about the men, they feared the Lord, listened to it, exceedingly. And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I put it to you, these boys were saved by the grace of God on the deck of an old wet boat. You see, God's not tied to work in a beautiful building like this. Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, dear friend, you can go home and get into your bed and you might have a sleepless night because the work of the Holy Ghost might be wrought in your heart. And I have heard tell of men, in fact, I spoke to a man just last Sabbath evening and this is what he told me. He said, Everett, I had heard the gospel and I knew it in my head and I knew what I ought to do. He said, Everett, I drive a lorry. And as I was driving my lorry along the road on my daily work, I come under such conviction of sin that I had to stop my lorry along the side of the road and get down on my knees and ask the Lord for forgiveness. And thank God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So these boys were saved. They made their vows unto God. And you know, one day when I get to heaven, should it be sooner or later, I'm going to look for them. I don't know who you call them, but I'll find Jonah first. And then I'll ask Jonah to introduce me to them. Or I can ask the Lord. I don't need to ask Jonah at all. But I want to sit down and have a chat with them. Because I know one day I'm going to see them there. So Jonah, he's in the water. He's under the water. By right, he should be dying. By right, there should be no hope. But you will discover not only did God have the ability to speak to humanity, not only did God have the ability to speak to the nature, but listen, He had prepared an animal. He had prepared a fish. For the Bible says in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Here is a wayward child of God. Here is a man of God who now has realized, listen, I've run away from the will of God. I'm in a backslidden state. I'm cold in heart. And I need to get back with the Lord. And the Lord had to bring him to the depths of despair before he began to look up. And maybe there's someone in our meeting tonight and you once walked well with the Lord. And you've lost out. You're not walking according to the Word of God no more. You're certainly aware you're not walking in the will of God. And maybe tonight this is a picture of your life. And maybe God's bringing you to a point where He wants you to look up. You know, in this story, you see the love of the Lord Jesus. We hear a great load of talk about love today. But in this story, you see the love of the Lord. Not only towards the boys in the boat, but also to a wayward child of God. And you know, yet He gives us the opportunity to make our peace with Him. And He says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I want to tell you, from the depths of the sea, Jonah remembered. And there in the belly of the fish, verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto Thee, into Thy holy temple. Chapter 2, verse 8, and they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Listen, he's pleading for mercy. He's asking for God's forgiveness. And dear friend, listen, this encourages me at times when we fail the Lord and when we get away from God, that there is forgiveness with the Lord. Because the Lord heard the heartfelt cry of a wayward son. And my Bible tells me that the Lord spake unto the fish, and the fish vomited him out upon the dry land. You know, Jonah is just a being prepared again by God to do His will. Now listen to this. God's willing to give him a second chance. I often wonder, would the church have given him a second chance? Or would they have just thrown him aside as a no-hoper? I want to tell you something. My God is the God of second chances. And third. And fourth. And so on. And as this man was vomited out onto dry land after 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, I have no doubt that it had an effect upon the very features of the man and upon his skin. I believe that the gases within the belly of the fish would have sucked the skin, as it were, to bleached. He had been as white as a wall. But after the Lord had commanded the fish to vomit him out, you'll notice that it vomited him out at the right place. And then the word of the Lord came in chapter 3 the second time, saying unto Jonah, verse 2, says Jonah, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. I want you to mark that in your Bible. He wasn't just to go to preach a message. He was to go to the city of Nineveh. He was to preach the message, listen to it, that God gave him. That's different now. And the message that God gave to this people and gave to Jonah to present to this people was this: yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It was going to be a message of judgment. And God said to him on this second occasion, Jonah, I want you to arise. I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and I want you to preach the preaching that I bid thee. And this time we can see the response of Jonah. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. Why? According to the word of the Lord. His stubborn will was broken. God had dealt with him personally. And now he made his journey into the streets of Nineveh, that great city of 3 days' journey. And from the day that he entered the streets of that city, listen, the Bible says in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, he began his ministry right away. Listen, he's now standing in the very streets of the city that he detested. He's now preaching to the very people that he thought would not and did not deserve the mercy nor grace of God. But because of God's dealing in his heart and in his life, we can see that will is now broken. We can see him now in the very city amongst the people, and he's preaching the message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And here amongst these ungodly, wicked, vile, sinful people, listen, at the response of the preaching of the word, at the response of the messenger of God, my Bible tells me in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. I love that phrase. You see, it's not the preacher you need to be listening to as such. The preacher who seeks to preach the gospel is only preaching the message of God. And the message of God is this, dear friend: except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And just like the people of Nineveh, dear friend, in this meeting tonight, dear sinner friend, you are in danger of perishing and going out into a crisis eternity. You know, I was in the graveyard today, and it's a time I like. to go. I have a child buried there in Portadown. My father's just buried up the road in the local graveyard. Many's the time I walk through the graveyard and just sit and just observe and walk around the different gravestones and read the readings, the different readings, the different Bible portions. Many's the time I stop at each grave and I ask the question, where is your soul in eternity? That's a question I can't personally answer. I can only answer it concerning myself. But nonetheless, as Jonah went in amongst the people and he preached the message of the Lord, the people of Nineveh believed God. And there's something happened in the hearts of these people, because not only did they believe God, but they proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and he covered him with sackcloth and he sat in ashes, humility. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Now listen to this. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. I want to tell you, this message had an effect upon the heart of its hearer. Because as they listened to the messenger of God preach the message of God, here was a people who realized that this was of God. They realized that their souls were in danger of perishing under the judgment of God. And therefore it led them to a state of repentance. And there in the streets of Nineveh, the people began to fall before God, and they cried that the Lord would indeed be merciful to them. For as they cried in verse 8, but let man and beast be covered in sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way. I want to tell you, there's not only a recognition of their heart's condition, but there is a willingness to repent. They knew that this judgment was coming because of sin. And as they fell down before God, they did so crying unto God in true repentance. Because they knew lest they would do this, they were certain sure to perish under the judgment of God. For verse 9 says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? They realize they're not dealing with a preacher. They're not dealing with a religious system. They're dealing with the Lord. And dear friend, I want to warn you tonight in this meeting, you need to repent from your sin. You say, I'm not as bad as these people. Dear friend, my Bible tells me, and I speak to my own heart. I want you to listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one person tonight that does not include. And I don't care if you're a good person or a rough person or a bad person. Listen, if you're not saved, you are all traveling on the same road that leads to destruction. And my Bible tells me that Christ Jesus came into the world to be your Savior. And in order for you to be saved, you must be willing to repent of your sin, acknowledge to God that you are a sinner, be willing to repent of your sin, receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Savior. And the Bible gives the promise that as many as receive Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God. And I want to tell you something tonight. As you walk out that door this evening, you can be sure in your heart that all is well with my soul. Why? Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The question has got to be asked, did God hear their prayer? Well, He certainly did. Did these people truly repent? Well, they certainly did. Was this revival blessing throughout Nineveh? It certainly was. Say to me, why? Read verse 10. And God saw their works. You know, we were looking at that this morning in the life of Paul. God knows whether or not you're saved or not. God knows your heart this evening. You can fool each other, but we'll not fool the Lord. And you know, there's a very frightening verse of scripture in this old book. And you know, it speaks about those who would profess the Lord with their lips, but they don't possess Him in their heart. You know, it's a very frightening thought. When you really think about it, in the book of Matthew, this is what we read from the lips of our Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And dear friend, maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight. And there's been no real genuine work of grace wrought within your heart. The outward appearance looks all right, but the Lord knows the heart. And I want to tell you what God seen pleased Him in the streets of Nineveh. For God saw their works. And He saw that they turned from their evil way. Hallelujah. That's called repentance. And when God saw that they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil that He said He would do unto them. And He did it not. I want to tell you, there's mercy with the Lord. And I can see old Jonah sitting out on the hillside. And he's preached the message to the people. and his message was 40 days and Nineveh was going to be overthrown. And as old Jonah sat on the hillside observing what was going to happen, he noticed the 40 days coming and he noticed the 40 days going, and he realized the Lord has mercy upon these people. Now, it didn't please him one bit, but nonetheless it doesn't remove the fact that salvation's of the Lord. And maybe, dear friend, as you have come into this meeting tonight, you've come in a dear lost sinner. You know that Christ Jesus has died in your room instead. And you're just now in the closing moments of this gospel rally tonight in the valley of decision. And Pilate once asked a question, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He made his decision. And you have to make yours. And let me warn you tonight, the decision that you make tonight could determine where your soul's going to be in eternity. If you're willing to receive him, when you come to die and leave the scene of time, he's going to receive you unto himself, that where he is, there ye may be also. John 14. But if you reject him, you have sealed your destiny for eternity, because he will reject you. And dear friend, what an awful thought it is for a soul to be lost. And the sad thing is this, that may be your soul. Young man, young woman, maybe God's challenging you in the meeting. It's time to repent. You say, Everett, I'd like to speak to you. Will you do that? And don't leave the meeting without the Lord. One day your body will be laid across the road to Mother Earth. But where will your soul be? In eternity. Trust in Christ tonight. Call upon him just now. And I promise, according to his truth, he will save your soul. Let us bow in a word of prayer.